Good afternoon. I'd like to update you on the California situation today, kind of give a broad presentation that discusses some of the new activity, new work that we've been doing, but also a little bit about the history of where we're at with conservation tillage and no-till production in California. So I'll be using, in some cases, no-till and conservation tillage sort of interchangeably and show, focus in on a couple of no-till cotton activities. Certainly, we're going to move into at the end a discussion of what our next generation means in terms of where we think we are in terms of merging some of our technology practices in conservation tillage. So a little bit of the background is right now we're faced in California with growers being required to have conservation management practices. It's basically a requirement which we have farming activities that are reduced, that try to we make an attempt on farm to reduce the normal amount of dust produced by agricultural operations. And so we've developed some guidelines that work to reduce or eliminate the need to disturb the soil. There's definitely some, if you can modify equipment or apply dust suppressants, these are things that go toward or move toward improved air quality. And so we do have information available and a program available to work with growers who are actually filling out paperwork and identifying specific practices that they're doing on farm to improve air quality. But conservation tillage is in the largest sense that we look at it, it's a wide range of crop production practices that minimize or eliminate the primary tillage or intercrop tillage operations, which include things like disking, plowing, and certainly deep tillage with chiseling and ripping. And we also want to deal with managing residues to enable efficient planting, harvesting, and pest management. Just to give you an idea, we are actually monitoring the progress. It's very slow in the irrigated West, particularly in California. This is just an acreage survey for a number of crops here. We're slow to adopt. One of the reasons is in our cotton production systems in particular, there's a need to stock destruct and incorporate residues. We've recently had some modification or an easing of those requirements by the Pink Bollworm program, and we've actually been able to increase the number of acres that we do minimum operations during the wintertime, but we still have a requirement to do some stock destruction activities and minimum tillage over the winter period. Being irrigated agriculture, we typically farm on furrows, and we need to maintain those furrows so that we can get good water movement down the field. So that's some 2004 data, 2006 data, and when we get up to about 2 or 3% acreage of conservation tillage, I'll be back here to report the findings, okay? We want to, oops. Okay, thanks. Didn't want to go back. There it goes. We want to keep the conservation tillage paradigm broad. In a number of cases, we're rotating crops. We don't have a lot of systems that are cotton rotations, so we're rotating very commonly with processing tomatoes. As you see here, we also have a number of forage crops that we're intercropping with, and wheat. Wheat is another. So we have a wide and broad range of systems. And some of these systems are on non-permanent bed systems. We've got a number of situations where growers are looking at and implementing one-pass tillage systems. And we also have other systems that are looking at more permanent bed management systems. So some of these are maintained using GPS technology, and there's a wide range, very different equipment used in these two different types of systems, but we are finding ways to modify equipment in those in those different comparative systems. Here's just an example of some of the increases that we've seen in the last couple of years. We've seen some large increases of strip tillage into wheat residue ahead of planting corn for forage production. Another example that we've seen a few growers adopt and initiate a system where they're looking at, and these are permanent bed systems, where they're planting a triticale as a cover crop and burning that down, and then coming in behind it with a rotary strip till piece of equipment, and they're going in transplanting behind that. And as you can see, we've had some very good results with that. And this is actually a drip irrigated field here, again, permanent bed types of systems. And we're certainly working on developing and increasing the types of conservation tillage activities involved in cotton. So if we look at sort of the compilation of where California research is right now, We do see that we're working. We have done a considerable amount of work now on crop residues over the last 10 years or so, 10 to 12 years. Still conducting some species selection work. Let's go back there. We're continuing to look at water use efficiency. There's some ongoing projects where we've got water use and water balance. Studies that we're evaluating in pollution reduction, particularly air pollution reduction and some drainage work that's being conducted. But we're also looking at single crop systems, tomato systems, work that's been going on since 1996. We've had a couple of melon trials and several things that we're doing with cotton that's ongoing. And right now, I'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the integrated systems development that we're doing. We're looking at some cotton tomato rotation systems, wheat tomato and corn tomato conservation tillage systems. And this is a NRI project that we've been evaluating for the past 8 years. This is a trial that's been conducted at the Westside Research and Extension Center, and we're looking at a standard tillage approach with conservation tillage, both with and without cover crops. And basically, we've been looking at with the cover crop system. We've been looking at triticale rye and common vetch mix cover crops for the cover. We've been looking at replicated trials and trying to reduce our tillage as much as reasonably possible in each of those systems, and monitoring the inputs so that we can conduct an economic analysis. So anytime the equipment's going in or water's going on or some kind of input, we're monitoring that very closely with the field station staff working with us every step of the way. And then we've got machine harvest activities to determine yields. The standard tillage on tomato system here is year one, we have the system in tomatoes, and then year two, the following year, we go to cotton, and then right after that, we go back into tomatoes. And this is sort of give you an idea of some of the activities and operations that go on in our standard tillage systems. So as you can see, there's a large number of passes that we make for tillage and a number of activities that we do throughout the season. And if we contrast this with the conservation tillage systems, you see we actually, you know, eliminate quite a few activities, particularly when it comes to some of the pre-plant cultivation as well as in-season cultivation. In our tomato, these are tomato residues just before we plant cotton. And this is one of the planters that we've used and developed some practices for planting in the spring. And we have had over the years some issues and problems with stand establishment. Here's a example of some pretty good stands that we have in in the triticale residue there. And then we also have post-harvest stock management issues consisting right now of a one-pass shredding and then undercutting and a second-pass sweep to get those furrows ready to accept water for pre-irrigation prior to transplanting tomatoes in the spring. So again, we're cutting in our systems. What we've been able to do is cut our passes in about half when we compare our standard tillage versus conventional tillage approaches. And to give you an idea of what's been going on with yields, apologize for some of this. It looks like things got kind of moved around a little bit. But basically, if we look at the red, that's showing you that there were statistical increases in yield. And in the first year when we first started this, we actually saw those increases in the standard tillage, no cover. But as we progressed through the season, we started to see more and more on either the cover crop system and the conservation tillage with no cover. So we are seeing some fairly good improvements in yield. Looks like this happened again. You can see we had some real issues on the first year in terms of establishing our trials in 2000. We only did a very poor job of getting yield the first year. But after we worked out some of the stand establishment issues, we did a much better job. And you can see here that we are doing, again, we're doing better as we look at eliminating some of those some of those differences. Here's a more updated chart and yield response for our cotton yields on that same trial. Basically, again, going back into 2004, some of this response has to do with problems with some of these have to do with stand establishment issues here, whereas the standard tillage here, we've had much more consistent results. But as we've worked more consistently with improving our stands during that early season, we do seem to have stabilized in terms of our cotton yields between the two types or the four types of systems that we had. The next generation cotton yields that we've had similar results. We're beginning to improve our methods here. Basically, what we're looking at here are no cover crops being used in these minimum tillage systems. We have a standard tillage here in the blue or purple, and the narrow row twin system where we're actually looking at a 7-inch split. These are 60-inch beds, remember. So we actually have four lines of cotton on each individual bed, and we're comparing that with a strip till approach and ultra narrow row drill. It's drilled onto that 60-inch bed. I believe we've got five lines of cotton on that. And again, we're seeing good positive yield, positive results there, and some more consistent results. This is just a little bit of a picture of the fact that we've got growers now that are working with us. And we actually had a very good cooperator in 2001 through 2003, where we've had a number of systems that we evaluated on farm. We basically have got a number of different systems that we evaluated. And again, similar to some of our research, in 2001, we had more problems than we did as we moved into the trial. And as we got towards the third year of the study, grower actually was very successful at a number of different types of treatments and experimenting with these, and actually had some real positive experience with the conservation tillage approaches, and so much so that they have expanded some of their acreage. And here's an expansion of that in 2003, where they were strip tilling cotton into a wheat residue. We have had recently some no-till cotton field days more recently, and we've had some fairly good results and responses to that. Good attendance. We continue as an extension group to work closely with the industry, closely with a number of people in cotton and non-cotton work, and I think our next move really is to integrate some of the issues with irrigation and conservation tillage. And to give you an idea of where some of irrigation is headed in California, right now there are about 20 new center pivot systems that are being installed in Fresno County alone, and a number of those are in forage systems, but some of these guys are going to be looking at using them to irrigate cotton as well. But we're looking at coupling irrigation with tillage, low systems as a means for optimizing cheap, efficient, and resource-conserving production systems. And just a quick note that we do have a pretty large team working on this activity. We've got AES scientists, specialists. Karen's doing some of our work with the economics. Bob's here in the audience here and working with us on some of the soil and water ends of things. And we've got weed science people. We've got growers involved here. NRCS and RCD people all involved in our work group and collecting a lot of information. So with that, I'll say thank you and appreciate your attendance.
Any questions for Dan? Dan, are you measuring
anything? I don't know if we have real recent data on that, but Randy Southard at the Davis campus has collected a fair amount of information. There has been a paper published on that. And it basically what it says is that the more you till, the more air pollutants you have, and there's a direct comparison, but in terms of the number of times you till. But in terms of some of the, we did not see many differences there weren't many differences measured with the cover crop and no cover crop systems when it came to some of the tillage operations. So there have been some results. Some of that hasn't really been teased out real well, but yes, basically the more more you till, it's just an additive things in terms of how much aerosol you put up in the atmosphere.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Dan.
Thank you.